Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Got Dead Penetration here.
What's that?
And we've got a slew of articles. So first we're going to start with the Louisiana Senator that's warning that eating Walmart's radioactive shrimp could turn you into an alien. You may recall a story from a few weeks ago when Walmart recalled some great value frozen shrimp, due to concerns that they might be contaminated with radiation. There's a minor update on that, one that doesn't have much to do with the irradiated shrimp themselves as much as it is one possibly unwell senator's got to say on the subject. In what seems like a mix of seafood safety PSA and the kind of rambling that used to be found exclusively on cable access television, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana hit the Senate floor armed with a giant picture of the freshly born chest-bursting alien from Alien. He did this to provide an urgent warning. Those radioactive frozen Walmart shrimp might give you extra eyes or lead to an alien using your torso as an incubator or something. The damn stuff's radioactive. Kennedy, representing the top shrimp-producing state in the U.S., delivered a five-minute monologue using the adorable alien chestburster to warn that imported shrimp could cause chestbursters? I guess that was the point being made. If that is indeed it...
Imported shrimp from somewhere besides where... He lives.
He says it's because of the radioactivity. Let's set aside the fact that he has clearly never watched Alien, has no idea why the aliens exist, and will likely never be convinced that radioactivity, as to my knowledge, never once played a role in any Alien story, from the original Ridley Scott film through the Alien vs. Predator movies up to the current and quite good Alien Earth TV series.
I think they're missing the point.
Not that a minor detail like this matters to Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. He's using the chest burster to illustrate a larger point about I'm not quite sure what. I watched the entire monologue. I get the gist. Radioactive shrimp equals bad. I don't think many people want to have a shrimp cocktail with a side of cesium-137. I don't know how I feel about a sitting U.S. senator pointing to a picture of a chest burster and then saying this is what you could end up looking like if you eat some of the raw frozen shrimp being sent to the United States by other countries. And if you eat it, how could you end up looking like the alien in Alien? Because the shrimp was radioactive. I kid you not. Are the radioactive Walmart shrimp real? That's not to say that the radioactive Walmart shrimp story is made up. It's real. The shrimp distributed by BMS Foods were flagged by U.S. Customs and Border Protection for containing extremely high levels of cesium-137, a man-made radioactive isotope. The level 68 BQ/kg didn't even come close to triggering federal intervention, which doesn't happen until levels hit 1200. Ultimately, the whole story was overblown as bananas regularly register similar radiation levels. Wow.
Okay.
Still, Kennedy ran with it, adding that the shrimp were shot full of radioactive isotopes. That's a lie, by the way. He made that up.
Trying to get them to bow only Louisiana.
Right. Experts all seem to agree that the shrimp's exposure to radiation was likely accidental. Eventually, Kennedy cut to his real point, promoting Gulf shrimp. He said, I believe in homegrown Louisiana shrimp, fresh out of the Gulf, not radioactive. But I understand. Yeah, there he is.
Probably got stock in it.
I'm sure he does. But I understand that some stores prefer to buy foreign shrimp because it's cheaper. Now we know why. The damn stuff's radioactive. I read the entire passage as if Kennedy were an old-timey lawyer with those garters wrapped around his shirt sleeves, sweating profusely in a steamy Louisiana courtroom, trying to convince a jury to buy his slightly expired shrimp over some foreigner's radioactive shrimp. I don't know what to make of any of this. All I know for sure is that this once again proves that there isn't a single normal Kennedy in the United States.
Well, I can tell who wrote the fucking...
Well, it's Vice. It's Vice. Okay. RFK says that the shootings may be connected to video games. What data shows? U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary RFK has suggested a causal link between mass shootings and playing of video games, though countless studies over the years have failed to definitively connect the two when it comes to a proliferation of violence. Newsweek reached out to HHS via email for comment. Why it matters. The Make America Healthy Again Commission on Tuesday released its Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy, described as a sweeping plan with more than 120 initiatives to reverse the failed policy that fueled America's chronic disease epidemic. Targeted executive actions include to advance gold standard science, realign incentives, increase public awareness, and strengthen private sector collaboration, per the HHS. Kennedy has received criticism for how he's led HHS, including firing over 600 Centers for Disease Control and Prevention employees and showing an ambivalence toward vaccines and vaccine mandates for the last week, even drew consternation from some Senate Republicans who challenged the former independent presidential candidate on not following through on his past assurances. Upon unveiling the new 20-page MAHA report on Tuesday, Kennedy was asked by PBS News whether the commission had any discussion on relation between children's mental health and firearms. "The firearms question is a complex question, and it's not an easy question," he replied. The health secretary pointed to a sudden onset of violence in the 1990s when somebody walks into a school or church or theater and starts shooting strangers. "We're having mass shootings every 23 hours, he said, imagining possible reasons is dependence on psychiatric drugs. Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Video games or social media. He said the National Institutes
media,
of Health.
I would probably agree.
Yeah, I would say that too. Is examining such root causes. He did not elaborate on why he brought up video games or what the connection could mean in the grander scheme of the conversation surrounding health and safety. "We are initiating studies now that look at the correlation and potential connection between over-medicating our kids and this violence." That's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
That's what they need to be looking at. Not this. That.
Yeah. Which they probably are. Mm-hmm. When people do studies on that, they do several controls and several
of course they
possibilities.
Do. Now, Kennedy's connection between violence and video games is an argument that's been around for decades, becoming more part of the zeitgeist as gun violence and mass shootings have remained consistent in the United States. But any links that he or other lawmakers and advocates make have not been clearly borne out of the data. Numerous scientific studies have not found a link between violent video games and mass shootings, according to the American Psychological Association. APA research published in 2019 in the journal Psychology of Popular Media Culture analyzed more than 200,000 news articles and about 204 mass shootings over a 40-year period, finding the video games were 8 times more likely to be mentioned when the shooting occurred at a school and the perpetrator was a white male than when the shooter was a black male. Another experiment conducted with college students arrived at similar conclusions. Another 2019 study published by JAMA involved a randomized clinical trial exploring whether children's exposure to violent video game increases dangerous behavior around firearms. The trial involved 220 children, ages 8 to 12, assigned to play a video game in one of three conditions, with gun violence, with sword violence, or with no violence. Compared with children who played a game that was nonviolent, children who played a video game that included violence with guns or swords were more likely to touch a real disabled handgun, handle a handgun longer, and pull the trigger more times, including at themselves or their partner. Reported habitual exposure to violent media was also a risk factor for dangerous behavior and firearms, researchers noted. A study for Oxford, that same year found no correlation between aggression in teens and the time spent playing video games. Our findings suggest that researcher biases might have influenced previous studies on the topic and have distorted our understanding of the effects of video games, study co-author Dr. Netta Weinstein said. 1 year later, Ophir Turrell, professor of information systems and decision sciences at Cal State Fullerton, theorized that video gaming and bringing gun to school have a U-shaped association rather than a linear one. Even going back to 2004, results have varied in direct links between video games and violence were mixed. A study co-published that year by the U.S. Secret Service and Department of Education found that over half of attackers demonstrated some interest in violence through movies, video games, books, and other media. However, there was no one common type of interest in violence indicated, the study said. Instead, the attackers' interest in violent themes took various forms. David DePee, a adjunct professor at Stanford University, has explored whether there's a link between violence and video games. In a 2023 op-ed for Fortune, he spoke of how he and the Stanford Brainstorm Lab reviewed 82 medical research articles pertaining to any sort of casual link between playing video games and violent behavior. They found none. DePee told Newsweek via phone on Wednesday that he's not surprised Kennedy brought up video games, saying that politicians have attempted to make the connection for the past 2 decades without much proof, if any. "There's a lot of work that's done looking at correlations, but anyone with a basic grasp of statistics knows the correlation and causation are two different things entirely," DePee said. I'm not surprised to see this kind of raised... Excuse me, I'm not surprised to see this be kind of raised back to the top of the bin, so to speak, once again. But there hasn't been any new data that suggests that Secretary Kennedy's take is valid. The argument itself is compelling, Dupuis said, but it doesn't mean it's accurate. He mentioned how many first-person shooter games, which include popular Call of Duty, have sold millions of copies worldwide for years. They're sold virtually, well, everywhere, seemingly in the U.S., far and away, as the highest rate of mass shootings are school shootings, he said. Specifically, if you want to drill down on that and what difference between these places is not necessarily the penetrance of the video game so much as the availability of firearms. We can look to, say, Switzerland as a place that has similarly high gun ownership but pretty strenuous rules and regulations about being licensed for firearms, who can actually get them doing good background checks, and we just don't have those same safeguards in places here in the States.
They keep trying to compare everything with Switzerland, but they're living off subsidies from the U.S.
And Trump said in 2019, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. I do remember when he said this. It is too easy for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately. Lead researcher Patrick Markey, psychological professor at Villanova University, regarding his 2019 study published in the Journal of Psychology of Popular Media Culture. When a violent act is carried out by someone who doesn't match the racial stereotype of what a violent person looks like, people tend to seek out an external explanation for the violent behavior. When a white child from the suburbs commits a horrific violent act like a school shooting, then people are more likely to erroneously blame video games than if the child was African American. Kennedy's policies on deterring violence, as well as those pertaining to vaccines, scientific research, and grants at mass layoffs, major health industries will continue to be closely watched in months ahead. Fair.
I mean, they are doing at least they're covering all kinds of scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just sticking with this.
That's why I said it was. Violence. That mean I
and
said
then,
it was. Fair.
And he didn't. It's kind of included it in the long list. Now, social media, I can almost guarantee.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's really bad.
Who hadn't heard about them having a manifesto on Discord or some...
Right. Well, there's more than that.
Well, I mean, more than that, but that's just for an example.
Liberal CNN analyst shares shocking text Charlie Kirk sent to him a day before assassination. Jesus, what's going on with the New York Post today? One dead, multiple people injured in a shooting at Tony, New Hampshire wedding venue. Well, that sucks. Our man arrested at site of Charlie Kirk funeral was conducting security sweep. That's interesting.
Yeah. They're having it held in the State Farm Arena
okay.
in Arizona. The Cardinals play there. Not the baseball, the football.
Okay.
Arizona Cardinals.
Victim sues man who she says groomed and raped her and posted explicit photos of her online. Poverty-stricken Oklahoma girl turned unwitting child sex star is trying to turn the tables on the New York man she accused of grooming and raping her, demanding $150,000. Yeah, let's try to get that straight. I'm trying to get this off here. Okay. Damn, what is wrong with the New York Post today? Anyway... We'll just leave the fucking video headlines on here. It's really weird the New York Post is behaving today. Okay, New York Post, I'm going to stick like this. Here, we'll do this. All right. A poverty-stricken Oklahoma girl. You know what we're going
to
do?
Who wants to know about a poverty-stricken Oklahoma girl? Plenty of other poverty-stricken states. She does get a little Indian in her. Kind of sexy.
Oh, hold on. I know this isn't... This can't be new. I don't want to archive this right now during the show. That's not something we want to do. Because there should be... It should exist.
Wow.
It doesn't exist. This is a brand new... I guess nobody bothered to put it up there.
Gotcha.
Fine. I don't know how long it'll take, but we'll go on to something else until then. Okay, so... Yes, it will. We can go to another one. Probably won't take long. Now, this is real-time archiving an article. You can do this, and I want you to do this. As a former journalist, dude, I've even backed up my own website, okay? So, make sure you do that. Like, even though it's dead and gone, you can still see the pages and view a lot of the work that we did a long time ago.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, not you want to. It's mostly metal and stuff like that. But, I don't know how long it's going to take. But, yeah, we're just
basically...
My favorite
metal? Titanium.
That's funny.
What's your favorite?
Okay, so this is old news, but I thought it was kind of funny. A husband went for a 280-mile walk to calm down after an argument with his wife. He then got fined for breaching coronavirus lockdown regulations. Remember, this was during all that. So basically, an unnamed Italian man hiked for a week in an attempt to calm himself down after arguing with his wife. The 48-year-old left Como in the north of Italy and traveled 280 miles south over a period of a week.
Boy, that's a lot of stress relief.
He walked about 40 miles in a day in an attempt to soothe his anger. Eventually, the man reached Fano, a beach resort on the Adriatic coast. Across Italy, current lockdown regulations meant that a nation, well, we don't care. They questioned him and reportedly shocked to discover that he covered such a distance. After inputting his details into the database, the police confirmed that his wife had reported him missing.
I wonder what she did to piss him off.
They fined him $485 for breaking the curfew. They then put him up in a hotel. Despite traveling such a great distance on foot, the man was not injured. He told the paper, "I'm fine. I'm just a little tired." He also revealed that during his journey, strangers offered him food and drinks. He's like, I wonder what the fight was over.
Nicer than his government was.
My God. Yeah.
I guarantee you that'd give me another reason to walk another 280 Whoops. Miles.
Wrong ones. Those are files.
I do want to know what she did to piss him off so bad.
Yeah. Is this still going? Still going. All right.
Oh.
New York Post still acting weird. San Francisco vigilantes spraying OD antidote Narcan into unsuspecting homeless people. Self-styled street vigilantes are reportedly roaming around San Francisco spraying the anti-overdose drug Narcan into the noses of unsuspecting homeless people.
You know, they still have to get to the hospital because it doesn't cure you. It just stalls the overdose.
But while that's going on,
how do you know? Research.
Well, we can use archive.ph too.
Ew. Fuck.
It was okay. This was already archived 5 days ago. Okay, here we are. Self-styled street vigilantes are reportedly roaming around San Francisco spraying the anti-overdose drug Narcan into the noses of unsuspecting homeless people before posting video of their attacks online to brag on social media. The disturbing tactic designed to chase homeless people off the sidewalk has left fentanyl users in San Francisco writhing in sudden withdrawal after being hit with the overdose reversal spray, despite not overdosing at all. One victim, 43-year-old Nestor Garcia, told the San Francisco Standard that a stranger shoved the plastic nozzle of Narcan up his nose this summer in UN Plaza, triggering violent sickness and leaving him vomiting on the pavement. Garcia hadn't slept in days when he began nodding off on his bicycle in UN Plaza, his feet slipping from the pedals as he slumped over the handlebars in a fentanyl-induced haze.
You're welcome, Garcia.
Wow, we... talk about this too. Garcia hadn't slept in days when he began nodding off on his bike. Okay, we talked about that. He admits he was in rough shape, but insists he was still conscious when a man shoved Narcan into his nose, shocking his body into violent withdrawal before ordering him to not to sleep there. He knew I was still awake. He had bad intentions for sure. The jolt left Garcia flailing, puking, and drenched in sweat as his body went into sudden opioid withdrawal and felt like a bad dream. Narcan, the brand name for naloxone, is a fast-acting medication that reverses opioid overdoses by blocking opioids from brain receptors and restoring normal breathing. It is safe for anyone to use, commonly delivered as a nasal spray, and has little to no effect on people that don't have opioids in their system. However, in those dependent on opioids, Narcan can trigger sudden and severe withdrawal symptoms like vomiting, sweating, and agitation. Once dosed, users also report soaring anxiety, wild swings in body temperature, and an urgent craving for their next hit. The drug's effects last about an hour, during which users are unable to get high, a period many describe as unbearable. San Francisco has recorded more than 3,500 fatal overdoses in the past 4 years, according to the city's Department of Public Health. Fight the crisis, officials have distributed more than 500,000 doses of Narcan citywide since 2021. Damn.
That's a lot. Tell them the state of their...
But the life-saving drug is now being improperly used by residents seeking to get the homeless off city streets. Six drug users told The Standard they have been startled awake in recent months by strangers either spraying Narcan into their noses or threatening to do so. They're using it like a weapon, said Kenneth Bird, who is homeless and addicted to fentanyl. People are going around doing it for just for kicks, Bird said. It's fucked up. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, said Henry Jones, a homeless man who said he was jolted awake this year by someone spraying Narcan into his nose. I've been shot 7 times and being Narcan like that was worse, Jones said. What are the attacks that spread fear through San Francisco's homeless community, even as online commenters cheer the tactic as vigilante justice?
Now, I do feel like, yeah, humanity, yeah. But you got to look at it from other people that live there and pay, you know.
Right.
They don't want to constantly be stepping in human shit walking down the sidewalk.
Right.
Or having to put up with the chance that one of these guys might randomly try to world star them and take their money.
And
I've seen footage of them walking down. That would keep me on edge.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure their gun laws there are shitty.
Oh yeah.
So I'd definitely have my 10-round clip of.
A viral Instagram video viewed more than 4 million times since July 9th shows a man brandishing Narcan to force a drug user off the Tenderloin sidewalk. The clip is captioned, "Best way to get somebody up in San Francisco. Here, hand me the Narcan. He needs the Narcan. Give him the Narcan," the cameraman shouts as he confronts a man slumped on drugs. The user springs to his feet and walks away. "Yeah, you better get your ass up," the cameraman yells. "You ain't about to die out here." The video has racked up 190,000 likes and nearly 2,000 comments, with many praising the tactic. "The new strategy for moving bums out of your way," one wrote. "Bro just solved the opiate crisis," another said. San Francisco is grappling with rampant open-air drug markets centered in areas like the Tenderloin, 6th Street, near 16th and Mission, where drug use and dealing persists, especially at night, despite daytime crackdowns.
That's Gavin Newsom at work.
Public health and safety crises, including the fentanyl overdose epidemic and large numbers of people living unsheltered, worsen visible decay and public disturbance, according to locals. Neighbors, business owners, and longtime residents report being overwhelmed by open drug scenes, biohazards, encampments, and what they describe as inadequate enforcement. City officials have responded with mobile command units, increased police patrols, community ambassadors, and plans for more treatment and interim housing beds, but many in affected communities say these efforts are patchy and slow. Frustration is boiled over into compassion fatigue among residents who feel the crisis has spiraled beyond what current policies can control. Health experts blasted the street misuse of Narcan. Dr. Ayesha Appa, an addiction specialist at UCSF, told The Standard it should be treated as assault and urged people to check for breathing before giving the drug. Using Narcan this way is not just mean-spirited, it's cruel, she said. When you send someone from a resting state to a heart rate of over 120 and say someone has pre-existing medical problems, it could be life-threatening. The Department of Public Health also denounced the practice. Individuals should administer naloxone if they recognize that someone is experiencing an overdose. However, misusing this essential tool to intentionally cause pain or distress is inhumane. It's not like the government spending on the unhoused industry is making a difference in getting people off the sidewalks. Yeah. Maybe this will.
Yeah. I mean, the people that are paying taxes are having to suffer. Like, the taxes are being paid so they don't have to live in filth and squander and don't have to worry about getting mugged or shot or stabbed. you know, they had, I remember I was in the hospital. I want to say my first transplant. It was a girl that worked at a furniture store. Mm-hmm. Dude just walked in there and stabbed her to death with a screwdriver. Just walked right out. And, I mean, you know, it's that stuff makes you, like, why aren't they getting them off the street?
Right, yeah.
They need, I do think Trump's idea about bringing back sanitariums and mental hospitals and all that is a good idea.
So,
of course, not the kind that they used to in the
1800s. Oh, right, right.
Yeah, life expectancy wasn't very long if you ended up in a sanitarium then.
So now people are decrying that people are spraying medicine at drug addicts. You just can't win with these people. Victims have reported sudden visions of reality, and they find this uncomfortable.
You know, they did it to themselves, too. Yeah. And I'm not saying go kill someone because they did it to themselves.
And we did it. Victim sues man who says she says groomed, raped her, and posted explicit photos of her online. A poverty-stricken Oklahoma girl turned unwitting child sex star is trying to turn the tables on the New York man she accused of grooming and raping her, demanding $150,000 for every one of the hundreds of risque photos and video of her that he allegedly posted online. Audrey Burns was just 14. And desperately trying to avoid homelessness when she began modeling to earn money after her mother was seriously injured in a car accident. It was rough, Burns, now 29 and pregnant, a single mother of three. This was the summer of my 8th grade year. I didn't want to start high school in a shelter, and my mom couldn't come home from the hospital in a shelter, so I had to do something. That's her at 15, mate.
Well, I remember
after one
girl I knew at 13 looked like she was 26.
True. After one photo shoot, I was kind of confused myself. I thought she also looked older from the shoot there. After one photo shoot, a photographer connected the young teen to Dutchess County resident James who she claimed quickly began urging Burns to send 60 photos of herself, rather not himself, and bought other pictures.
My name's Burns.
And bought other pictures of her nearly nude and suggestive poses, she said in a Manhattan federal court lawsuit. Ledestri, 65, posted photos of Burns and other girls to his website, teenstarlet.com, and in April 2013, when she was just 16, flew her and her mother to the Big Apple for a photo shoot with him at his Hudson Valley home, she claimed. When Audrey and her mother got to their room, they found at least 10 $100 bills lined up on the bed alongside a bag from Juicy Couture, according to the lawsuit. Once at his house, he plied her still-recovering mom with beer and whisked Burns away to a different bedroom where he gave the girl booze and constantly groaned while photographing her on the bed, she said. Evidently, Ledestri pinned her on the bed and assaulted her, then told her not to tell anyone about what just happened, explaining they could both get into trouble for the past photo shoots, Burns claimed. That's the guy.
He looked like a pedophile.
When she gained a following online, Ledestri, who also made a website for her under a pseudonym, allegedly forced Burns to answer vulgar messages for adult fans and chastised her when the high schooler didn't spend enough time doing so. I didn't understand the things they were saying, she recalled. He also encouraged the girl to send him pictures of herself in exchange for cash he'd send via Western Union, Burns alleged. Eventually, Burns' online life caught up with her in high school, forcing her to drop out as she was taunted by peers, according to court papers. Burns fled the state, later cutting ties with Ledestri altogether. Penniless, she became a stripper to survive, she said, and she is still haunted by fans of her teenage images. Audrey is still contacted by men who remember her and possess images and videos of her as a minor and implore her to send them unreleased content from when she was a child, she said in legal papers. Isn't that disgusting? At least two of these men have informed Audrey that they purchased and possessed a video of Ledestri performing oral sex on her when she was a child. When she spoke publicly about Ledestri and the assault, Ledestri sued her for defamation. The case is ongoing. Ledestri insisted in his own court papers everything with his websites was above board and that he did not know Burns before she turned 16. That is her now.
It looked like you fucked her up.
Oh, yeah.
You don't end up looking like that.
Burns alleges that I gave her mother alcohol. I mean, shit, she looks like fucking Tank Girl over here. Burns alleges that I gave her mother alcohol and told her, you guys know I do the Tank Girl comics. That's what she looks like. Burns alleges that I gave her mother alcohol and told her that she could not be present during the photo shoot. This is untrue, he said in the filing, adding, I have never become aroused at any point, and most importantly, I did not come into physical contact with her at any time. Burns, who said she forbids her oldest child from social media because of her own experience, labeled Liz Destry's lawsuit an abusive litigation tactic. She continues to do OnlyFans content to survive. It does not feel good, she said. Burns,
maybe you should do something besides OnlyFans.
Burns has asked the judge to dismiss Liz Destry's defamation case, said her lawyer, Daniel whatever the hell his name is, who asked that she decided to file her own suit as a way to fight back. It's a testament to somebody who has overcome every hurdle in life, he said, adding, she deserves justice against this individual. A lawyer for Liz Destry did not respond to a message seeking comment. Why are they not pursuing charges against him? He brought her over state lines to assault her. There are still images and video of her as a minor that can be obtained. I doubt this is the only girl he did this to. Lock him up. Probably because it was 15 years ago and there's no proof. That's just horrible. If he did this, it's horrific. But there's no statute of limitations here 15 years later? Come on, sounds like a money grab. Now, 29 and a pregnant single mother of three, so she didn't learn the first time and had three more, right? Mass amounts of tattoos, nose ring, hair color, checks all the boxes. Checks all the boxes that lead to what conclusion? That she is a 304 for recreational use only. Didn't learn what? She's not supposed to have children? Checks the boxes for what? Tattoos and piercings, yuck, but her choice. Somebody help me out on this one. She's still living life and suing the person responsible, alleged. I don't get it. It sounds like she's straightened out at all.
Lifestyle.
Yeah. At all pregnant and single again, and she had plenty of time for life choices between then and now. I'm confused. Do you understand the difference between an adult consensually selling photos and an adult coercing a child in sexual photos and sexually assaulting and raping her? Boy, the victim blaming is strong in you. People often victim blame to give them a sense of control over a frightening, chaotic world. If they convince themselves that harm only happens only to people who made bad choices or bad parents, they can believe it wouldn't happen to me or my loved ones. It's a psychological defense against vulnerability, but it's also fueled by moral judgment, lack of empathy, and cultural biases that prioritize personal responsibility over systemic accountability. Oh, it's the system's fault. Who said she's a victim? She has no proof. There's Western Union receipts for something. Where's the proof she was raped? Go ahead, let's hear it. Wow, she was abused, assaulted, and taken advantage of at a young age. Apparently she had no father in life. This is exactly how girls get into stripping and porn. She deserves sympathy and prayers and hope that she gets out of it, because it is the only thing that she has known since she was a child. She was taught that her only value was her body from the time she was 14. She knows nothing else.
Well, that she was taking over state lines.
It's true.
You know, you can't do that with intent of sexual purposes, no matter what the law is in their state or your state.
And say, you must be one yourself if you're defending this face of evil, because we have to believe all women.
I don't say we have to believe all women, but she does leave a pretty convincing argument. I'm sure, you know, she didn't get paid all that much.
Right.
Not as much as he's getting paid. He gave her a Gucci bag and a fucking $1,000 before the shoot ever started. You know, people don't spit out that kind of dough unless they're going to make way more.
NJ nurse suspended without pay for calling out doctor who cheered Charlie Kirk's death. Yep.
Yep, that's what
New Jersey surgeon allegedly cheered the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And she and Lexi Quenzo, a nurse at Englewood Health, filed a lawsuit Friday against the hospital and others, claiming she was wrongly fired for calling out the doctor's vile act. Quenzo had the audacity to question how Dr. Jung can comply with the Hippocratic Oaths and the American Medical Association Code of Moral Ethics while celebrating the murder of a nonviolent Christian speaker who was on a college campus, the suit says. Quenzo was found in front of a nurse's station with eight other nurses and a patient in a stretcher when the news of Kirk's death broke. Oh my God, that's terrible. I love him, Quenzo said before Jung shot back. I hate Charlie Kirk. He had it coming. He deserved it. The barbaric.
Well,
the
he needs to be held accountable.
The bariatric surgeon allegedly said. You're a doctor. How could you say someone deserved to die? Quenzo recalled replying. It was mind-blowing to me, the 33-year-old Hoboken resident told the Post Saturday. I was so angry and upset. Quenzo said she reported Wednesday's incident to management immediately and then posted about it on social media when she got home.
Yeah.
And the following day, she was pulled into a meeting with hospital brass and suspended without pay pending a probe. A union rep also suggested she start looking for another job. Quincy, an avid conservative whose Instagram photos include her posing in a bikini holding an American flag and a large cardboard figure of Donald Trump, has been a nurse for 10 years, including nearly two at Englewood Health. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was unclear Saturday whether Jung had been disciplined for her remarks. The doctor did offer to buy lunch for the nurses who heard his rant, but if Jung were to follow through on his mocking offer, it would have included plaintiff because she had been suspended without pay. Quincy is seeking unspecified damages. GOP activist Scott Pressler called the nurse one of Charlie's Angels and questioned on social media whether Jung has the ability to treat patients who disagree with his politics. Would he treat them differently? Would he allow his emotions to cloud his judgment as he did by saying such a statement in front of a patient? Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, you should. That just means your judgment's clouded by your hate. If he wouldn't save Charlie Kirk, who else is he going to not save because he doesn't agree with him?
So look at this. With utmost contempt, I roundly condemn those who advocate, support, encourage, or engage in violence against another or others, most especially for those who work in the healing professions and arts. Advocates and perpetrators of violence lack moral good character and cannot be dispassionate, objective, and safe, thereby posing a potentially mortal danger, especially for their patients who hold views with which they disagree or oppose of, which danger such patients are most often unaware and so cannot protect themselves against. When possible, it is wise to scrutinize all available public sources when choosing healthcare, legal, and other providers, especially where health and safety are of the essence and may be up at risk. That is what medical schools are turning out now. It's documented. They are indeed. It's far worse than most people realize. Medical schools, the academic hospitals, and the now graduating physicians are among the most woke and progressive groups in America. This is going to be a catastrophe for our children having mental health issues, and so many of us as we age. It's true, and standards to become doctors and scientists have frighteningly slid under Obama and Biden. I take care of my health in every way possible, no longer trust the medical community, and I worked in a hospital for 30-plus years. If I'm conscious and I see a Dr. Young coming my way in the ER, I'll say, get me any old doctor who I know at least got competent training. That's sad.
Yeah.
And scary. We're getting older.
Well, when you think about, the hospitals I've been to...
Yeah.
Of course, my PCP's a conservative, so that's good. But hospitals that I had to stay in for anything kidney-related have been full of pride flags and woke symbolism and ideology and everything else.
Drex came down there. He said, Arkansas has the most busted women. He said, I thought it was Alaska, but he went to Little Rock, and he went into the medical place in there, and he said those women are all busted in there.
Busted as in looks or busted?
Bad. Busted as in looks.
I've seen some gorgeous women.
He said they were all busted in there.
Maybe I hadn't seen a true gorgeous woman then.
I don't know if he was in the medical area. I think he might have been in the airport. I can't remember
really
where he was.
But
that's what he said. He said they were busted. Yeah. I was like, they're not what they used to be. NJ nurse suspended without pay for calling out doctor who cheered Charlie's death. Was that we talked about
yeah,
that
we
one?
Yeah, we just did that.
Okay. I was looking for this one. Sorry. Texas Tech student arrested after hurling vile comments at Charlie Kirk mourners. Fuck y'all, homie dead. A Texas Tech student was arrested after she was filmed mocking Charlie Kirk's assassination, harassing mourners at a vigil for the conservative influencer. Yeah. Wow.
Well,
Cameron Giselle Booker, 18, was recorded jumping around and yelling at following fellow students, paying tribute to Kirk. Fuck y'all, homie dead. He got shot in the head. Booker is then seen comforting a man in a red MAGA hat who lets out a groan and says, while panning to Booker, evil is real, people, and it kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
The man then asks why she's being so hateful as she shoves her phone in her face and repeats the same question back at him. He then asks her to back up. She continues to hold the phone in the man's face and finally tells her, I want to be left alone.
Well,
Booker then explodes. She then explodes after someone off camera tells her she's being too emotional.
She's being being a cunt.
I'm not being emotional, ma'am. Don't tell me what I am and what I'm not, Booker says. You could get out of my face, because I could tell you what you are, but you won't like it. She then calls them racist when they say she's being overly aggressive.
What? You wanna... Oh, because you're acting like an overly aggressive black woman?
Let's... Okay, guys, so we're back. So what we were going to do is originally let you guys hear everything, but I decided to go into another article because we're running out of time, and we do have some things we really need to talk about. These are kind of our headlines. So I apologize. I had to break this in two, but we got everything fixed. So, all right, let's go ahead and... First of all, I want that dead. We'll talk about that later. This right here, we're going to... Okay, so guys, heads up, we're going to do another AI show. I know you guys like our AI shows, and we are going to do an AI... Or I'm going to do an AI show this weekend, because I've got a lot of AI articles, and you guys really do like our AI stuff. So we will definitely be talking about that. But for now, we've got some other stuff. And, of course...
It does.
So...
Increase mental disorders and signs.
Yeah, we will talk... I'll talk about that. Okay, so here's our top story. Total porn ban. And wait till you see how this is insane. Total porn ban proposed by Michigan lawmakers. Okay, so the guy that's behind this, how old do you think he is?
Probably young. Probably in the early 20s.
A little more.
What, late 20s?
A little more.
Early 30s?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Honestly, a lot of porn probably is.
No idea what this aims to ban.
Let's see what they aim to ban first. You're going to have nothing to do with porn.
Oh, this is bad.
Well, here, let's find
Michigan
out.
Law, okay. Michigan lawmakers proposed a bill last week banning porn. This comes after the bill's primary sponsor, Representative Josh Shriver, said earlier this year that he was working to draft legislation banning all porn online. Dig deeper. House Bill 4938, called the Anti-Corruption of Public Morals Act, would prohibit the distribution of real, animated, digitally generated, written, or auditory depictions of sexual acts.
Well, then they're cutting out the box office, too.
Hey, and the video anime, games, and anime, and books, and comic books, and...
Yeah.
What I do, the reading, what you do, both of us
what
could be...
What are they going to have, Sesame Street?
It doesn't make... And it says, the bill breaks down the type of acts covered, including intercourse and masturbation.
Well, I'm out.
The bill also includes a section that takes aim at transgender by prohibiting material that includes a disconnection between biology and gender by an individual of one biological sex imitating, depicting, or representing himself to be of, or herself to be of the other biological sex. So, in the world of fiction, you can't have a female version of a male character. Like, say you want to have what's a popular male character that people wanted to have like a female version of?
They're trying to do the female Iron Man now, fucking it up.
Well, I'm talking about this is for sex, though. This is for something that somebody wants to do for
it's
sex.
It's an abomination. Though. What's the difference?
No, I'm talking about some people like to do a gender version. Like, what if there was a female Mega Man?
Like Bible Black?
No. Talking about, say we have like a Mega Woman instead of Mega Man, Mega Woman.
Well, they do stuff like
that. Yeah, but you couldn't do it right there because according to that bill, it would be banned. You couldn't do that.
Why?
You couldn't,
if it's
because
not sexual.
If it was made in sexual art. Like, say if they wanted to do because they do that on the internet. Like, they say, let's do a female Mario and give her big boobs and everything else, and she's a biological woman. I said, well, that clearly is representing a male character.
I mean, yeah, that's a very broad
but
use
that's,
of the law.
Yes, but they could do that. Again, this is super broad.
Yeah.
Real, animated, digitally generated, written, or auditory depictions of sexual acts.
Well,
the bill would require services providers
I mean,
and...
not to say I fully agree with it, but they are infringing on the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right. The bill would require internet service providers in Michigan to use filters to prevent people from seeing the prohibited material. If the bill were to become law, violators could be looking at prison time or hefty fines. Distributing the prohibited material and making it available online would carry a maximum prison sentence of 20 years and or a $100,000 fine. If more than 100 pieces of prohibited material are involved, the penalty jumps to 25 years in prison, which is about as much as if you killed somebody, and or a fine of up to $125,000. Additionally, an internet service provider commercial entity could face fines for knowingly allowing people to access sexually explicit material online.
Their VPN subscribers are going to go up.
You can't do that either. The bill's sponsors are also pushing for violators of the Anti-Corruption Public Morals Act to register as sex offenders. Others behind the bill, including Representatives Joseph Pavlov, Republican, Matthew Maddock, Republican, James Hassana, Republican, and Jennifer Lawrence, Republican. Here's the whole bill, by the way. Can we look at it?
I do think pornography is an issue for a lot of people, but...
But it shouldn't...
I don't think you should outlaw it. Like, there's a lot of people that have alcohol problems. Mm-hmm. We don't get rid of booze.
Right.
Because the few...
He says, what they're saying, according to Shriver, the ban, which would apply to adults and minors alike if it were to become law, is designed to protect children. How does it protect children if it makes it so I can't look at it?
Well, that's where that's the underground industry gets involved and makes children less safe.
Right.
I'm not saying I would do that.
It does make it less safe.
But sex trafficking of minors is the biggest thing.
Is the problem. Look what he says there. These measures defend children, safeguard our communities, and put families first. Obscene and harmful content online threatens Michigan families, especially children. Shriver's been outspoken about his objections to porn and his desire to ban it completely in Michigan. Earlier this year, he said porn and human trafficking were linked, adding that shutting down the porn industry would be a crushing blow to the human trafficking industry. Big picture view. If the bill were to become law, Michigan would be the first state to enact a total porn ban. Some states have moved to require just age verification and ensure only adults are watching porn. But no states have outright banned the whole viewing of porn. For instance, early this summer, the United States Supreme Court upheld a Texas law requiring age verification. That's okay. I don't care. The bill was referred to the Committee on Judiciary. No meetings have been scheduled for the committee to review the proposed law. So none of this has happened. By the way, okay, so this guy's already come under fire. Michigan is highly Democratic. They're largely Democratic.
Oh, well.
So it's not going anywhere. And,
probably not.
And he messed something up because they did this earlier, in May 13th, 2025. House Dems aimed, that's him, that's the guy, aimed to censure Representative Shriver over racist statements made on the House floor. Michigan House Dems on Tuesday came out in support of a resolution put forth by State Representative Sharon McDonald, D. Troy, aiming to censure Representative Josh Shriver, Oxford, for racist statements made on the House floor. Shriver, who was stripped of his staff, funds, and committee assignment by the former House Speaker Joe Tate last year for promoting the racist Great Replacement theory, spoke out on a set of policies intended to crack down on sanctuary cities and counties during the chamber's May 1st session. In his testimony, Shriver quoted former presidential advisor Patrick Buchanan's book, The Death of the West, telling fellow lawmakers the chasm in our country is not of income, ideology, or faith, but of ethnicity and loyalty. Illegal aliens undermine our national sovereignty. The largest population transfer in from history is coming from all races in Asia, Africa, Latin America, and they are not acclimating. They are not melting, and they are not reforming to the American way of life, Shriver said. This is something that needs to be addressed. McDonald told reporters on Tuesday that while it's not surprising to hear Shriver oppose sanctuary cities, his testimony had focused on criticizing people rather than policy. Shriver blamed naturalized citizens and their descendants for America's ills. I think any rational person can agree it's one thing to have strong opinions on immigration policy in Michigan. It's fully another thing to claim that all immigrants, including naturalized citizens, are bad people. Even worse, to claim that all people of certain ethnicity he doesn't like or certain national origin that he doesn't like are bad people. House Minority Leader Ranjiv Puri, oh God, they got an Indian, whose parents immigrated to the U.S. from India, called Shriver's comments deliberate, disgusting, dangerous, and disgraceful. They were an attack on families like mine, and an attack on the very spirit of inclusion and that progress that our state is making. His remarks were rooted in ignorance and prejudice, and they do not reflect the values of the House Democrats or the values of the Michigan people. Shriver also singled out countries whose people are overwhelmingly black, brown, and non-white, not once mentioning European nations or white immigrants. That's not a coincidence. That's racism, plain and simple. He didn't just invoke racist tropes. He leaned into the dangerous great replacement theory, suggesting that immigrants of color adhere to race American identity. That's not policy. That's paranoia rooted in white supremacy. He also, again, so without going any further, they grilled him. So the thing is, this happened in May. And the bill that he wanted to pass, it just happened last week. Dude, they're already about ready to throw you out of the Senate.
Yeah.
And you're going to, let's ban porn. Dude, that's not going to do it.
I will say, if you come here illegally,
oh yeah, I
agree. Sanctuary cities go against federal law. So, it was federal when Joe Biden was in office before. So, yeah, that town shouldn't get anything from us, for one. Two, that's where Trump comes in with the military and all to drag them out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree with the bad ones, but he was singling out everybody.
Going all out, like, with ban porn, and not only make porn bad, which, I mean, to an extent, I do believe.
You know what? I will say that the old industry wasn't a great place, but, you know, and I don't think it's great for all these girls to be jumping on OnlyFans either. But I will say that, you know,
I mean, you could ban OnlyFans and I'd probably be all on board.
Yeah, the problem is that wouldn't stop there. Yeah. I do believe it needs to be banned, though, and the reason why I say that is because it is a monopoly.
Well,
here's the reason. I'll explain. So OnlyFans is a massive, massive, massive company. And because it has search engine optimization, because it's been Googled so many times,
smaller sites
are fine. There's smaller sites all over. Like the one I use is a smaller site. The joystick that I use for our content, it's a smaller site.
Yeah.
But the site OnlyFans, it's gonna attract people because everybody, all the kids know about OnlyFans. That might be the problem. Kids really shouldn't know about OnlyFans. I mean, let me be fair.
Well, I tell you, if they're around during the news,
I know, and that's a problem because they don't need to be. And these news sites, they don't need to be promoting OnlyFans. Think about Playboy. Now, to be fair, we did absolutely hear stories about Olivia Munn and Playboy and stuff like that. We do remember that. Trish Stratus, I think she was in Playboy. A couple other, China was in Playboy. I remember that. So I do remember that, but I do remember also that not every woman could get into something like Playboy. So they knew about it, but it wasn't something that a girl could just go in there and start, I'm going to be in Playboy magazine.
No, you got to listen.
And the issue now is that all these girls are going into this now, and that's
with false hopes.
Yeah, false hopes and
not
a lot
of everybody's Playboy material.
A lot of bad stuff. So while Sophie Rain is, you know, doing some good things with her thing, like she's trying to kind of pay it back in a way, there's a lot of them that just, and I think a lot of them do want it to go away because, well, one, they made, first of all, now I think this is kind of unfair, but I understand what they're getting at. They're like, I made a shitload of money and I never have to work a day in my life, but I want it banned.
Well, they have the one, well, yeah.
That is true.
There's some that do just strictly
elementary
content that are just so hot.
Right. But they don't
make a lot of money.
Yeah, and they really don't like Sophie Rain. Sophie Rain doesn't do any hardcore or anything.
Then there's women that aren't really up to par,
mm-hmm.
but they make a lot of money because they have to go nastier and dirtier every time. Yeah. Do worse stuff.
Now, honestly, like I said, I'm not against banning amateur pornography. I don't think banning amateur pornography is a good thing. I don't think it's going to go away. I think people are going to always have amateur pornography. But what I do think is that it doesn't need to...
America's Got Talent of amateur
pornography. It doesn't need to be in the mainstream. It doesn't need to be big to where you've got celebrities that were promoting it to kids.
Not only promoting it, they're in it.
Well, I know, but promoting it to kids, promoting it to young teenagers. Well, I don't need to go because, you know, what was it, Beyonce? Or no, it was, what was her fucking name? That other one, the rapper.
Rihanna? No,
not Rihanna.
You're talking about the one that used to drug
yes.
guys and rob them?
Yeah, her.
Wet-ass pussy?
Yeah. She was the one that was over there saying, Cardi B. Cardi B was on there, and she was the one that was telling all these girls, oh, you should do this, you should do like me, and let all these guys, and their girls are like, oh,
she
Cardi B.
She must not have been much of a talker as a stripper, because I'd never go home with
Cardi B.
Talks like her.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is, but these girls, they know that lingo. That's the lingo that everybody speaks in.
They're popping each
other's ass up. Yeah, I know, but that's the lingo. So these girls are basically seeing this and like, oh, Cardi B's cool, she's awesome, so I want to be like that.
She's
and they get
cool.
And they get into that. Well, she's the, well, thank God we have Sydney Sweeney now.
She's
that
the hood rat of Hollywood.
So now, and thank God we got Sydney Sweeney now that is looking, you know, more not that kind of sexiness.
Oh yeah, she's naturally
yeah
good looking.
Yeah. And what
she
I'm
got good genes, don't you
yeah
know?
Yeah. And what I'm saying is maybe girls will kind of go for that sort of thing. We're going to see maybe a little bit of a return to that.
Not see a brunette look like her.
But like I'm saying, that's not bad. And I think maybe a lot of this, like if they decided, hey, we're going to really restrict like OnlyFans. Yeah. We're going to really kind of, you know, stop that from becoming a big popular thing. Like even with the content that I do... Like, I never wanted something like Joystick, and even those people that do Joystick, they don't want it, like, mainstream and, you know, all over the place. It's not for that. It's an adult website for adult people that you have to, you know, it's not for children. It's not, you know, that shit shouldn't even be on Twitch. You shouldn't have these girls in bikinis going around trying to do sexual stuff. And you should really, yeah.
Probably background check should be in order.
Well, with the girls that go on it, yes.
Well,
and also
looking for a position in the industry.
Yeah.
Job applications, background
checks.
Yeah.
It's getting a little crazy. We're gonna need to do more of this kind of thing. And I don't know why we
now,
don't.
See, that would be more helpful than
banning it all together. Banning it all together means we don't have an option. We don't know how to fix
underground
it.
Underground option pop up.
Yeah, because you know what happens when you ban it? All the underground shit
all
coming from
stuff comes
God knows where
legal.
Comes out.
Yeah. Oh, we got good stuff. We filmed it yesterday.
Yeah, and it's
how
probably.
Old are they? I didn't really ask.
Right. That's bad shit.
Oh damn! I'll have to remember that for next time.
That's bad shit. But anyway, so we're going to end this with Sophie Rain Gooning for Good campaign. We'll see all OnlyFans income donate to families in need. She's already made so much money that she's going to start giving it to people who need it. Yeah. OnlyFans creator and social media influencer Sophie Rain has announced that she'll be hosting a Gooning for Good fundraiser later this month. It's my birthday in a week, and this year I want to do something very special for it, she said in a video shared on Instagram, which can be seen below. I want to donate just 24 hours, though, of her income on the last day of September to a charity. So any money spent on that day will be donated. This charity we're donating to is called Feeding America. They'll provide meals to millions of families using food banks and pantries across the county. Country. Every dollar spent helps put food on the table or someone in need. And the caption for the post, Rain added, hope we can make a big difference and break some records.
I hope they do, but I would have to look at the stats of how much money goes.
That right there is making the most money on OnlyFans. Out of all the girls on OnlyFans, that's the
she
one.
She is cute.
She's cute. I've seen prettier. I've seen prettier.
Yeah, of course.
But at least she's doing something good, you know.
Well, it's nice.
And Rain has garnered a lot of attention for the claim she's made about the amount of money she's made. She claimed that she's made as much as $82 million from her OnlyFans content through both subscriptions and premium content available to purchase at an additional cost. So if anyone on OnlyFans has the ability to make a difference with just 24 hours of income, it's her. Recently, Rain made... I don't care. Rain cast doubt on Little Tay's claim that she made just $15 million in 2 weeks on OnlyFans. Me coming out of retirement after hearing someone is claiming to make more than me, she said in a TikTok video. Why is some child who's a fan of trying to beef with me for clout? Tay, meanwhile, claimed that she makes more money than most people ever fucking touch in their life. Yeah. I don't care about their little spat.
Who gives a shit? That ain't why they're watching her.
No. So, we can talk about the panties to wear on your head at another time.
What?
Yeah, okay, so this is new. Panties to wear on your head as hair accessories on offer from Japanese fashion brand. Intimate apparel to be seen by everyone. While the garments serve a purpose, there's almost always fashion element to lingerie. Even a brand's most pedestrian panties will usually include some sort of decorative ribbon, lace trim, or playful frill. Of course, the only person aside from the wearer who sees these aesthetic flourishes will be a special someone she's in sufficiently intimate relationship with. Unless, that is, she's wearing those panties on her head. It might seem like a scenario that would never exist outside of a screwball comedy movies or ill-advisedly uninhibited drinking sessions, but there's now a third manner in which panties could end up on someone's head, thanks to Shibuya-based Japanese fashion brand Genifax. While these might look like an ordinary pair of undergarments, flip them over and you'll find a metal clip attached to them. The similarity to a barrette isn't a coincidence, because this is Jenny Fax's panty ribbon bow, which is meant to be worn as a hair accessory.
Well, those are itty-bitty. I've seen a hair clip like that. They're not big.
It's not clear if the item can be worn as conventional panties, since it appears that the waist might be sewn shut to help maintain its shape when in use. As strange as the concept may be, at a quick glance from a sufficient distance, it's less shocking looking than one might expect, especially in black. It initially looks just like an elaborate but elegantly styled bow. Get closer though, and the lingerie lineage becomes clear, and it's probably even more apparent with the blue and pink versions. Oddly enough, while Genifax sells a variety of blouses, skirts, dresses, and shoes, their catalog doesn't include any actual lingerie, meaning that the panty ribbon bow is an attempt to move overstock panties by repurposing them, but instead is a deliberately designed accessory. Unorthodox as this motif may be, there's no denying that it's a unique fashion statement, and while it's not known how big the production batches are, all three colors are currently sold out on the online shop of Genifax's parent company Mikio Sakabe, where they're priced at 17,600 yen, but if and when they are restocked, they can be found here.
$118 for... You could get a regular pair of panties.
Yeah. Cheaper. Yeah.
But they wouldn't be that brand.
I guess not.
Boy, those panties got a racial strap down them.
So we're going to talk about this stuff later, okay? Yes. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with AI later, so...
That was a good article to leave on, I
think. Yep.
It was a feel-good article.
Yeah, it was. All right, guys, I'm out. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.